Today we begin a new series of conversations that we're calling Unreasonable Expectation. So as we go into this, we want to start off by talking about our terms. First word, of course, is unreasonable. One of the dilemmas from our perspective that many of you encounter is that in your journey of individuation, which you have now completed, which you are now a master at, and are quite deliciously good at individuating, reasonability is one of the things that you have made part of the process, that you have made part of what you're doing and how you are with what you're having. The problem with reasonability is that it requires logic, for one thing, and the other thing is that it requires data points. So what we mean by that is that when you're being reasonable, you're considering other perspectives, which is, on the one hand, particularly within a psychological environment, very powerful. But in many ways, if you're talking with us, if you're listening to these words and you're not offended by them, it's quite likely that you're leaving the psychological realm to return to the metaphysical. Because by nature, the very nature of your being is what we would call metaphysical. That's actually a very limiting term to consider what it is that we're actually referring to. But it is a way to talk about this that makes at least, maybe not perhaps sense, but it gives a framework to use. Whereas before, in your journey of individuation, the psychological state, the psychological realm was sort of, kind of, but perhaps quite rightly, the highest point that you could get to while still believing yourself to be an individual inhabiting a chaotic environment. So as you begin to explore, and you're beginning to explore, may have happened many years ago, but as you begin to explore the metaphysical, you begin to realize that you are not in a chaotic universe, that you're actually in an intentional universe, and that the intender happens to be you. So you're sitting in the middle of that which you are intending, and you're having an amazing, wonderful, delightful time with it. The problem with the idea of reasonability is that you logically assess certain things within the data that you have access to, which is not a lot, considering how much there is, and you use that to be reasonable with how you approach things. Again, the height of psychological wisdom is to essentially say, I want to make sure that what I do does not hurt someone else. And we highly recommend that approach. But metaphysically, the way that turns is you begin to realize it's impossible to hurt anyone else. Now, we're not talking about someone's body or even their personality. What we mean is that you cannot, in essence, harm anyone, including yourself. You may not like what happens, and the other person may not like what happens, and they may tell you in no uncertain terms that they don't like what happens. But that is not harm or hurt. What that is I just don't like this. It's a point of contrast that I really don't care for. Thank you very much, anyway. We're not trying to explain away things that are unwanted. This is not about the past. This is about the present. Unreasonable, which is not really a good word because, of course, it brings with it the idea of reasonability. But we use it here because it's a point of contrast that we can use to bounce off of and go into something much deeper and much broader. Unreasonable means that you walked away from reason. It doesn't mean that you're eschewing intelligence or logic or anything like that or the psychological approach. It just means that you're reaching deeper or broader than that approach can actually take you. Unreasonable means that you're not bound by the past, for example. Because remember, in order to get data to make decisions about what is a reasonable approach, it's all generated by the past. Now, you can project into the future, but the projection into the future is based upon what happened in the past. that instance, based on the future, looking at, or rather, looking at the future based on the past, that approach is not anywhere to be found where you actually are. Those are all abstract concepts. They seem very real. And it's likely that within the psychological framework, that it was very helpful and continues to be. But when you begin to approach things at a metaphysical level, and again, that beginning point may have been many years ago, but we're talking about the present moment. And so our way of saying when you begin sounds like we're saying you've never done this before, but now that you're going to, we don't mean that. Every moment is new, and you can choose, using the context that we're using here, the psychological approach of reasonability, or you can choose the metaphysical approach of unreasonability. And by that, we mean that you're not bound to the past. In the present, there is no past and there is no future, because, in fact, they don't exist. Now, you have data that says they exist, or you have reams of data that says they exist, but that data is faulty because it depends upon something that's actually movable and is fungible and is constantly changing and evolving. Because in the present moment, when you think about the past, you're actually thinking a thought in the present. You're just saying this happened before. When you're projecting into the future, you're still thinking a thought in the present moment. You're just labeling that thought, this is about the future. It's the height of psychological wisdom, and we do not quibble with this. We're just saying that's one approach, and there are others. It's the height of psychological wisdom to be very reasonable, particularly when you're dealing with other people, situations, and conditions. And you're concerned about whether or not what you do or what you desire or what you say will be effective or affecting someone else in a way that is not nice to them. And again, from the psychological approach, we highly recommend this method. But when you look at things metaphysically and you begin to realize that everyone everywhere is helping you, and that everything in every place at every time is there for your good, even if you don't see it, because psychologically, remember, you need the logic, you need the data, you need to be able to assemble those data points to be able to come up with, like, is this good for me? Yes or no? That's not the kind of good we're talking about. We mean an inherent state, an intrinsic state that transcends your ability to perceive it. Because remember, your perception, while you have a body, which you do right now because you're listening with your ears, while you have a body, you narrow your focus down and you ignore vast amounts of data. Like the walls of water at the back lot of MGM when they're pushing it out of the way to make it look like the Red Sea is parting. You're pushing it out of the way so that you can narrowly focus on that line that goes from Egypt over to the Promised Land. In this space in between the walls of water, it's very narrow and it's very focused, and you do not have access to very much data at all. But when you begin to realize that, in fact, you don't have to consider the past in order to know what to do in the present, that you do not need to be reasonable about how you got here and what it means and what it might have to do with the future, then, in fact, the present moment is where all of the power is, and you cannot actually plan for the future. Now, you can prepave the future, but that's a present moment experience that feels better now. You can intend for the future, but that's a present moment experience that feels better now. You can lay out what you desire for the future, but that's a present moment experience that feels better now. You can turn around and reframe the past, but that's a present moment experience that happens now that feels better now. You can decide that the past doesn't have the meaning that you thought it had, but that's a present moment experience that happens at this present moment time. It all happens in the present, and it feels better now. Your job is not to figure out what happened and how you got here. That's the psychological approach. And that can be very powerful. But it's likely that if you're here listening to these words and are not offended by what we're saying, it's quite likely that that is no longer useful. It's very reasonable, but it's no longer useful. What is likely much more reasonable, or rather much more useful, is to be unreasonable about what happened in the past and what is going to happen in the future, and to bring your attention to the present and use your imagination to decide for what you're wanting more of, instead of trying to figure out how to thread the needle of what happened in the past, and hopefully with a lot of prayer, hope, and trust and faith, you can get into the future of your desire, but probably not, but maybe you will, but maybe you won't, but who knows? That leads us to the next term, expectation. So, intending, allowing, deciding, imagining, expecting, these are all the same word. They all mean the same thing. Now, they're different sort of colors of, let's say, a flower, or the different petals of the flower itself, if you will. There are times when it makes more sense to talk about imagining. There are times when it makes more sense to talk about intending. There are times when it makes more sense to talk about expecting. We haven't even mentioned versioning, because versioning is actually the mechanism by which all of this happens. But here we're going to talk about expectation. We could have said unreasonable imagination, unreasonable intention, unreasonable versioning. But here we're using expectation. You are expecting that which is rising to meet you. You're doing this all of the time. You're doing this all of the time. And we'll talk about that in just a moment. But before we go there, we want to talk about the word expectation itself. In your culture, on a psychological level, the word expectation has to do with the future. Here, in the same way that the teacher Neville Goddard would have used the word assumption, we're talking about expectation as a present moment experience. I am having an unreasonable expectation of my great good rising up in front of me right now. Not later, but right now. This morning, we were having a conversation with Frank about this topic. And one of the things that we said was, you know, when talking to Frank, we said, when you say, today is the day of my great good, if you'll notice, you've really kind of shifted those words, and it doesn't mean today anymore. It means sometime later today. And when we use the word today, we're actually talking about right now. We're not talking about the number on the calendar that corresponds to the date. We're talking about right now. And Frank said, well, then what do you suggest? And we said, I'm sitting in my great good. I am sitting in it. I have an expectation of it. I have an assumption of it. I am versioning it. It's happening right now. Expectation, assumption, versioning, intending, imagining, allowing, having, they are all the same thing. It's happening now. It's happening now. Now, again, on the psychological level, in the psychological realm within that context, your eyes, because you're always gathering data, your eyes are one of the biggest data gathering devices that you have. You're gathering data about what has been, because remember, it's microseconds, but there's a delay in the light coming into your eyes that's bouncing off the wall, the potted plant, the painting, the trees outside the window, coming into your eyes and then being translated through your optic nerve to your brain, then being transmitted to your mind so that you can interpret what it means, what that painting means to you in that present time moment. But it's not really a present time moment. You're looking at the past. It's microseconds in the past, but you're looking at the past. Light is fast, but it's not instant. By the same token, what you hear, what you taste, what you touch, what you smell is still the past. Now, your body can be, and we've recommended this many, many times, your body can be a very powerful way to bring yourself into the present, where you just basically look around and take a deep breath and let it go and watch what's happening and notice that you're in the right place at the right time, in the right way, right here and right now, and that all is well. We highly recommend this approach. Highly recommend this approach. You are not, however, required to do it this way, but it does help you. It will bring you into the present moment when you're feeling very tossed and tempest torn, that you're out on the storm and you're just being sort of thrown about by the chaos of the chaotic universe, which in fact doesn't exist, but does seem to exist, particularly in the psychological realm. It's all very chaotic. You can't quite figure out why it's happening, but you've got some data points that you can assemble, and then with reasonability, you can then figure out kind of what happened and where you're going from here. When you turn towards the metaphysical, you're dropping the reasonability and you're becoming unreasonable. And you're dropping the hope, faith, and trust and confidence that you have in the future and bringing it into the expectation of the present moment, the imagining of the present moment, the intending of the present moment, the having of the present moment, the versioning of the present moment. Here, right now, what is happening? Because right now is where all the manifesting is occurring, not later on, but right now. And the way you know this is by how it feels. You know what feels better in the present moment, what thoughts feel better to think in the present moment, what actions feel better to take in the present moment, and what words feel better to speak in the present moment. You know where you are in relationship to everything you have at this red hot minute. You don't know it by data or reasonability or references to the past. You know it through your intuition. Unreasonable expectation, as two words tapped together, basically means you have a powerful desire and you are expecting it to happen. And you are not basing it or conditioning it at all on what happened in the past, nor what you think is even possible for the future. Because what you think is possible, you're always going to be wrong, because it's always going to be better, for one thing, because you're becoming more of who you are in each and every moment, as are all of the situations, conditions, circumstances, etc., that are surrounding you. Unreasonable expectation is your natural state. And that brings us to default manifesting. So we talk about manifesting, which is basically all you're doing. Everything you're doing is manifesting. While your eyes are open and you're in your body, you're manifesting. And you're manifesting things, people, conditions, situations, circumstances, etc. Ways in which objects and people and things and circumstances and situations, et cetera, they blend together, moving through time and space. It's delicious. You have sex here. You have chocolate here. You have a sunrise and a sunset, one a day. It's amazing. The moon, the stars, flowers, bees on flowers, bees buzzing around, doing things with flowers, unspeakable things with flowers. It's amazing. It's truly, truly amazing. And we highly recommend you spend time here because it's a really fun place to be. In this manifesting, there's two kinds of manifesting. There's not really, but it's an easy way to make it clear about what's going on. There's what's happening 99.8% of the time. You are having default manifesting, running water, electricity, the internet, making this conversation possible. Gravity. Your potato chips do not float out into the air when you open the bag. It's really nice. You have your body. And this is what we like to call the default stream of manifesting. It's pretty much everything. Now, there are a very small handful of things that you've pulled out of the stream of manifesting that you've made really big deals out of. So they kind of take up all the air in the room. They kind of take up all the space in the room, but they're not really that big. There's not much of it. And it's not as big of a deal as you likely think it is. This is your intentional manifesting. Now, intentional manifesting is fun if you let it be. It's actually a lot of fun, play with things, like a sculptor plays with clay, or an artist painter plays with oils or watercolors or acrylics and paintbrushes and canvases or paper. It's fun. You can, however, take this fun and make it very miserable by trying to convince yourself that there is something that you should be doing that you have not done, that needs to be done, but hasn't been done yet, but probably should be done, but you haven't done it yet. Those are all very reasonable approaches. You do need to do things in order to get things. Everybody knows that. One of the most reasonable statements that we could make. You can't just sit on the couch eating bonbons, watching television. You can't. Everybody knows that. Reasonability, 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 reasonability. That's you pulling things out of the stream of default manifesting so that you can play with them. But you may have turned that play into somewhat of a horror story where it's like, it just won't happen and I just don't have it and I really need to get it, but I don't have it and I should be doing things in order to make this occur. The truth is, you're in the right place at the right time, in the right way, right here and right now, and everything that is happening here is most definitely happening for you, most definitely happening on your behalf, and most definitely happening to your benefit. So you're in the middle of something quite wonderful, quite delicious, and quite powerful indeed. And of course, everything that is happening here is happening for you on your behalf and to your benefit. All is well. And everything, again, is happening for you in a way that is delightful, delicious, magical, and powerful indeed. So it's good to be here in this powerful, delightful, and delicious place, in this wonderful time, in this wonderful moment, where all is well. That statement, those words right there that we just said, they're quite unreasonable, and they have a powerful expectation. It is wonderful to be where you are. It is. We're not defining it. We're not saying why or how. We're just saying it is wonderful. It is powerful. This is unreasonable expectation. All is well. Unreasonable expectation. As wonderful as everything is and as good as everything is, it's only getting better and better from here. Unreasonable expectation. We highly recommend that you spend some time here. Being unreasonable, not basing what you're having on the past, but allowing it to rise up to meet you in the present, whatever it is. And knowing that as wonderful as it is and as delightful as it is, that it's only getting better and better from here. Another unreasonable expectation. Not about the future. Sounds like the future, but not about the future. It's about what it feels like here and now in this present moment. So all is well. All is wonderful. All is delightful and all is delicious indeed. Again, more unreasonable expectational statements. Default manifesting, which has very little contrast, very little, is unreasonable, highly unreasonable. It's so unreasonable, in fact, that logic, it kind of defies logic. Well, it very much defies logic for us even to talk about these things in this way. Gravity? I'm manifesting gravity? How could that possibly be? Oh, but yes, you are. You definitely are. That's why your body is shaped the way that it is to fit into this well of gravity. Where if you take a pencil in your hand and you open your hand, the pencil will fall to the floor, not to the sky. Hooray! Potato chips stay in the bag. They don't float up out into space. And you can go into a space station, into a rocket ship, and go above the Earth. Then if you dare, you can open up your bag of potato chips and see exactly what we're talking about. They'll float out into the middle of the room, which is very rude, particularly for your roommates. Not a very nice thing to do. Gravity is helping you. Everything you're manifesting is helping you. Everything you're manifesting is helping you. That's actually also a highly unreasonable statement. Because we understand that within the New Age construct of getting it done and making it happen, that You can't just say everything is helping me, because you've got proof that, no, there's some shit that I don't like, and I need to do stuff in order to make that not happen. And I can do it through magical powers of the new age, kind of whatever, whatever. I'm going to imagine my way out of this paper bag. And that will work up to a point, but not well, and not for me. So before we go into the process, we're going to say one last thing, and that's the most unreasonable thing of all. That where you are is exactly right. What you have at this moment is exactly right. That's also quite unreasonable. It's also a powerful statement of expectation. That what you have right here and right now is exactly right. And as wonderful and as powerful and as delicious and as delightful as all of this is, and it is truly that, it's only getting better and better and better and better and better from here. So with those words, we now bring this conversation to a close, and we now offer you a process. It is not the process. It's not something you're required to do. You can participate as you wish, or set aside if that is your desire, and just listen to see what it is that we're doing. We offer this not because you need it, but because it is something that might very well be helpful, but only you will know. So with that, we begin the process with these following words.